time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Lane loves viral internet stuff. He needs to walk into Rocco's
right
and buy 1,000 Jello shots.
Yeah.
With SI's Pat Forty.
They like having the NCAA as a fairly incompetent cop.
Here's Pat and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Small sample Heisman, Pat. We're getting right to it.
Whoa.
Hello, right. Record book.
Hello, small sample Heisman.
How about that?
Sorry, I know. No football is being played. Doesn't matter.
This must be good.
When people deserve a small sample Heisman, they get the small sample Heisman.
We deliver. Here we go.
Whoever the hell at Rocco's Pizzeria and Cantina in downtown Omaha came up with the idea of the Jello Shot Challenge during the College World Series. And I believe that person is Kevin Koljat. He's the owner.
Okay.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this, he sells Jello Shots. He does not make his own because this just would be too much gelatin. Supply chain issue. He gets these little packets of Jello Shot. Based on some calculations, seems like each shot is about one third of an actual shot. Keeps score on which team has ordered the most Jello Shots.
Which team's fan base?
Fan base, yeah. Maybe the team.
I mean, maybe. Once your team's eliminated, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe even before your team's eliminated.
Yeah, all of Texas's 224 were the team since they were the first eliminated.
Yeah. So the 2022 Jello Shot Challenge right now, this is live scoring per Tuesday morning. We have Arkansas in the lead with 6,526 Jello Shots.
Holy moly.
That's more than double of the all-time record Mississippi State set last year, by the way.
Really? Yeah, they broke Mississippi State's record. They're very proud. They are also beating Ole Miss at 54-28. Wow. The other schools did not seem as inclined to jump in on this as Arkansas and Ole Miss are very enthusiastic here. Texas A&M is a distant third at 611.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's a big gap.
Then we have Notre Dame at 399, Oklahoma at 356, Auburn at 355. Texas is just completely disinterested. They're too highfalutin to be doing Jello Shots, 224. And Stanford is like, does it come in a nice Pinot, Grigio or, Sauvignon Blanc? They only have 160. They're way behind.
Proximity to Napa, I think, is probably the closer you are, the less likely you are to be into Jello Shots.
Jello Shots is not the Stanford fan thing. These are $4.50 a Jello Shot. Now, the margin on this thing must be enormous. That's $63,265.50 in Jello Shots this guy has sold so far during the College World Series.
Genius.
And they have hell of a pizza, too. So that.
And you've been there, Sully?
I have been there. I've had pizza at Rocco's. It's good. Yeah.
Did either of you have a Jello Shot?
Yes. I did not. After Tennessee got eliminated last year, me and my buddies, we tried that. They were doing not so good in the standings, and we tried to put a little dent into it to make it respectable before we left Omaha.
Was that before or after you split your shorts?
That was after. That was a couple days after.
A couple days after. Okay.
Yeah. Couldn't remember the exact sequence of events.
Right.
Some dude in Omaha who owns a pizza shop being able to buy like a massive lake house because he convinced Mississippi and Arkansas fans to wage a rather unhealthy fight over who can consume more Jello Shots. That, my friends, is not just the small sample Heisman. That is the American dream. If the people of these two states, like, let me put it this way. Other states, the residents of other states would look at they look around and say, hey, let's pour a ton of resources and energy in not being like 50th or 49th in like childhood literacy, infant mortality, infrastructure, right? But those states have got it all wrong. Mississippi and Arkansas have their priorities right. And they're like, damn straight, we're going to win the Jello Shot Challenge at the College Baseball World Series. This is what we do here. Yeah. We don't care about your childhood obesity. We don't care about your infrastructure. We don't care about your per capita income. See how many Jello Shots we are able to consume here in Arkansas? is a state and a fan base worth emulating. I give the small sample Heisman to everybody.
Whole two states. Mississippi State for breaking the record last year. Ole Miss coming in and doubling up, and then Arkansas just blowing everybody up.
I mean, there's literally people in Mississippi. We can't let Mississippi State have this record. Hell no. I mean, this is just greatest marketing idea ever. This guy's made $60,000 in Jello shots off these people.
No, it's genius. It's inspired. Now, the question is, where's he building the lake house, though? I mean, you know, there ain't a lot of choice property in Nebraska for that. He might go down to Shady Gators, Lake of the Ozarks, Shady Gators territory.
Okay, well, the way this is going, he's going to move to Malibu. That's where the lake house is going to be. He spoke to Sirius Radio. Good work by them. It went ballistic, Cole Jatt said. Arkansas took the party room the other morning on Saturday. We opened at 9. Saturday morning. We open at 9. At about 8:30, there's probably 100 Arkansas fans outside waiting to get in.
Oh, dear Lord.
They rolled in at 9, and between 9 and 1, they purchased 1,000 Jello shots.
Come on, man. Between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m., purchased 1,000 Jello shots.
That was a pretty good roll. Then the Ole Miss guys came in. At one point, I think there was a guy buying 100 at a time for Ole Miss.
Oh, my.
It's just insane. I've created a monster here, and it's kind of fun to just sit back and watch. Yeah, I bet it is. You're selling one third of a shot in alcohol with some terrible gelatin at $4.50 a pop on like a Tuesday morning. Downtown Omaha. Warren Buffett tips his cap to this guy.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the championship round of the dang thing yet. I mean, they've got several days to go of just raking it in. I hope them Hogs and them Rebels keep fighting, as Keith Jackson once said.
I mean, Ole Miss is 1,000 behind right now. So
they can rally.
But I did see the Lane train flew in.
Yeah, see, you know what? That could change the equation quickly.
Lane loves viral internet stuff. He needs to walk into Rocco's
and
buy 1,000 Jello shots.
Yeah.
Start a hottie totty chant on the bar and just buy every Rebel
fan.
And then
say, what do I got to do to get one ahead of Arkansas and buy them all? I mean, look at Lane, buddy. You're making plenty.
Yeah.
You could afford, you know, like a $45,000 bar tab.
This is the perfect Lane vehicle right here, you know, for him to show up and be
buy 10,000.
Be the Jello shot hero. Yeah.
Buy 10,000 Jello shots right off the 45 grand. Put it on the expense account.
Slap them on a cooler and just start tossing them on the way to the stadium. And every recruit would want to play for you.
Where are you, Sam Pittman? Where are you? That's what he's got to be doing.
Sam Pittman and the Must Bus are both in town too, so
you know what? Must Bus loves a good challenge too. He's very online. I can see him getting into this. This is great.
Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, this guy's like, hey, let's try this Jello shot challenge thing, and now he's just breaking it in. He's got a pizza place.
It's unbelievable.
God bless America.
There are, you know, 20 other good places to drink in downtown Omaha near there, but this place has found the vehicle. You know, get college fans A, to drink a lot, but B, to make it a competition. And now you're on to something.
You're right. There are a lot of really good bars by that stadium, and this guy's needed to pick something to bring them over the top and really stand out. And
I'm sure the pizza's good. You said. You're competing with an alcoholic beverage that nobody really likes.
Right.
Like, you're not sitting there going, hey, I've got a better beer selection than these guys. Probably not. Everyone's got a good beer selection.
Yeah, Blatt's down the first baseline probably has the best beer selection.
Yeah.
Get that and the bratwurst there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't win that. You can't really do, I got better tequila or something. No, I mean, everyone's got that. No, this is it. Let's go low dog. And we don't even deal with the Stanford or Notre Dame people. They're over somewhere else getting a good steak and a nice Merlot.
We have 4 SEC teams that come to this thing every year. What would really get their wheels greased?
Know your audience.
All right. So who on this list are you most disappointed in? Okay, so Arkansas and Ole Miss, we applaud. Auburn, Oklahoma, Texas, and Texas A, and Stanford and Notre Dame, we're just writing off. They're whatever. They're non-competitors.
Yeah.
No. Texas, Texas A&M, Auburn, and Oklahoma, not up to the challenge. Do we? Is this a negative, or do you look at it like the Auburn people are like, I ain't going near these other guys?
No, it's absolutely a negative. You got to get in there and fight for your school, man. I'm disappointed in Texas, but they also were the first team eliminated. So, I could see them doing the
200. I don't think they want to be a rat. The Texas fans think they're above.
Oh, yeah.
The Arkansas and Ole Miss, they look at them as like guys from the sticks. They're a little rough around the edges. I don't want to hang out with them.
Well, I will say this. I watched some of Notre Dame and Texas, that Friday night game, and either Notre Dame bought every ticket, or I think more likely, everyone else there hates Texas because they're in the same little group with Texas A&M and Oklahoma. And you want to talk about a couple schools that hate Texas. So, yeah, if you're Texas fans, you probably better be careful where you're going around town. You're going to be outnumbered by people who dislike you intensely everywhere. So beyond that, I'm disappointed in Oklahoma, though. I mean, that team's rolling. Where are the Sooner fans drinking their Jello shots? 356? Come on.
356.
I mean, they're one ahead of Auburn.
But see, here's the problem. If to drink the Jello, to eat the Jello shot, you have to be around the Arkansas and Ole Miss fans. Like, I mean, if 100 Ole Miss, Arkansas fans were there at 8:30 in the morning, then if you want to, you want some Jello shots at 9 a.m., you got to hang out with 100 guys from Arkansas. And for reasons the rest of us will never understand, I think the people at Oklahoma look down on Arkansas.
Boy.
And they're like, I don't want to be here. Because you got to get in there. I mean,
at best, they should look sideways at them because there ain't that much difference. So, and then you know what? They want to be in the same league with them. So, got to get in the bar with them.
A&M? Has no one just come in and bought them all and put them on A&M? I think you got to see them. That's my concern. This would be NIL out of control. This is what Coach Saban's warning us about.
This is it.
Yeah. The Texas A&M Collective just buys all the Jello shots and wins Rocco's challenge. What kind of sport is that? You got to earn it on the field. You got to earn it at the bar. You got to eat every one of those horrible watermelon Jello shots.
We need sliced bread on the ground and boots on the ground in Omaha.
Sliced bread.
Reporting on this. Come on. Where are you, man?
I had tickets, clearly, for Omaha this year, and that didn't work out. And nope. Instead of Tennessee there and Sully there is a cooler outside of this Rocco's place with a sign that says free volunteers in there from Arkansas fans.
That hurts you, Sully.
How was the Jello shot at Rocco's?
I mean, it's your average Jello shot. It wasn't anything to write home about.
How old are you when you think Jello shots really aren't that? Like,
I would say, eight.
I think I had my last Jello shot when I was 8.
I would say about 20, 21, maybe.
Yeah, 20 of your. Yeah, I don't know.
Somebody gave me one a couple of years ago, and I was like, really? These things still exist.
Oh, they exist. You know?
Yeah.
Endless parade of 17-year-old girls that exist. Okay, every year there's a new crop of them.
Right.
So the Jello shot, it really has, it's having a great run. It's just eventually you're like, why would I do that?
Yeah. Right.
Why would I pay $4.50 for one third of a drink and I have to eat it and it tastes like crap? Who eats Jello anyway?
Kids.
Bill Cosby or something? Kids. Like, what is this?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Kind of makes a lot more sense now.
Oh, boy.
Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of alcohol that you age out of early, Jello shots might be the leader, you know, for me.
Zima.
Like, Zima. Yeah.
Poor
Jägermeister, Zima. You needed to age out of Jäger early because it'll kill you if you don't.
Well, not in Arkansas. I'll tell you what. I know where I'm taking my vacations. Let's go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. I bet they serve Jello shots at Shady Gators in Missouri. And, you know, there's all sorts of Arkansas people go up there for that.
Sure.
I like your style, Arkansas.
Woo pig.
Love your priorities. Arkansas and Ole Miss also played in the on the field. Ole Miss won 13-5, but who cares?
Yeah.
That's just
Arkansas
baseball.
Still. Remember, they played that ridiculous shootout game in football in the fall. Which I think negatively impacted Wetzel in the race for the case, if I recall correctly. But Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Did Ole Miss won that game, right?
Yeah, by one point. Yeah.
Arkansas fans got a win at the bar because they did not win.
It was like 50
on the football field.
50 to 49 or something crazy.
Yeah, it was really like a 53-52, missed a two-pointer or something at the end. Yeah,
should get points in that Sears Cup thing or whatever they call it now, right? It's like, what's that one with the All Athletics?
Yeah, the
Capital One. Usually,
the Director's Cup. There's two of them.
Director's Cup, the Rocco Shot Challenge should be.
Factor included. That in.
Well, yeah. Texas probably still won it because Stanford's not doing it.
Yeah, no. Texas wins the Director's Cup for the second year in a row.
All right, let's get to a little football.
I can talk Jell-O shots all day, but yeah, probably should do a little football.
All right, so this was the most interesting thing to happen this week, which tells you about this week. But no, Louisville, a commitment from Reuben Owens, who's a top 100 running back. He's ranked 20th nationally. He'll end up being a five-star probably from Rivals. He hails from El Campo, Texas, which is a small town, sort of South Texas, I guess. I don't know. Texas is big, so someone might yell at me and say, nah, it's Central, or I don't know, whatever. But Texas A&M wanted him. I think he used to be committed to Texas, TCU. Everybody wanted this kid. Big-time recruit. He is headed to Louisville. This is their second top 100 recruit in the last month. They also got DeAndre Moore, a wide receiver out of Los Alamitos, California. Earlier this spring, they got a four-star defensive back, Aaron Williams, from Bellflower, California. They got another a tight end. They got another athlete from Bellflower, California. They got a tight end from Inglewood. Their recruits are crazy. Florida, Georgia, more California, more Georgia. Pierce Clarkson's a really good quarterback from California, is going to Louisville. He's a top 100 player. Scott Satterfield on the hot seat with Jeff Brohm hanging out at like the Elks Lodge talking about taking his job earlier this spring for Purdue. And instead, Satterfield comes back with a vengeance on the recruiting trail. Now, they don't have a ton of commitments, but they are landing top players. These are three top 100 players going to a struggling Louisville program. Pat, what the hell's going on down there other than NIL?
Oh, I think you spelled it pretty well right there. It's pretty remarkable. It really is, because, yes, there were a lot of people in the city of Louisville who wanted Scott Satterfield gone after last season, and now he is pulling a recruiting rabbit out of the hat, and in a really improbable way. I mean, this is a program that has not, you know, done very well the last 3, 4, 5 years. When they have gotten big-time recruits, they have almost all been local kids, or occasionally you get maybe an underrated gem out of Florida, a Lamar Jackson, a Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater is pretty highly rated. Some other players out of, you know, the South. They're going and raiding California. I mean, it's unbelievable. They get a running back from Texas, as you said, a composite five-star guy who will end up being a five-star. And I think you have to be able to connect the dots and say, yes, this is NIL at work, although there's no obvious person you're looking at saying, okay, that's how this is happening. But let's be honest. How else is it happening? Why do six kids from California want to go to Louisville? Pierce Clarkson, who you mentioned, has kind of been the ringleader of this quarterback. He committed early in January. His dad, Steve Clarkson's a quarterback guru. He has ties to Adidas, which obviously outfits Louisville somewhat infamously when it comes to basketball.
Victims. They're victims.
Yeah, victims. Well, they don't feel very victimized right now, because Steve Clarkson, Pierce Clarkson and company are raking them in at Louisville. And I think that it's just kind of snowballed since he committed. Like, he committed and he put up a billboard in Louisville about his commitment. Like, where did that come from? And then all of a sudden now he's been the quarterback's been linked to a lot of these guys. And I mean, they feel like they're not done. You know, they've got some big-time offensive linemen that they're in on. It's like, you know, them and Alabama and A&M. And it's like, really? You think you might get these guys? But this is what NIL could be, right? How many times have we talked about it, Dan, on the podcast? This is the kind of thing where it can level the playing field, or at least disperse the talent pool a little bit, as different schools that are really hungry to win find ways to leverage the new rules to their advantage. And because you can't have – an entire roster full of five stars and four stars because they don't all get to play. So go somewhere where you can.
Yeah, and look, we don't know how this is working, but let's say they have the collective going and they're guaranteeing this or that money. You can pick your spots and outbid a wealthier school. Louisville's not poor, certainly, and NIL opportunities are enormous because, I don't know, Pat, what is it? It's one of the biggest cities in the country with no pro team.
Yeah.
The biggest?
Yeah. It's a top 50 television market, and there is no pro sports within 100 miles. You know, you got to go up to Indianapolis or down to Nashville, and Louisville and Kentucky, University of Kentucky sports, are the pro teams. They are. That's what people care about. They always have. And so, yeah, there's a fan base that's willing to invest in them.
And so here's the thing. It's not even so much that Louisville will have a higher rated recruiting class than Texas or Texas A&M, you know, because they probably won't. Or Alabama or whatever. But it's three less top 100 players that are signing with the same five teams. That, and you keep doing that across the board. It's Michigan State grabbing a couple guys or this or that, or, you know, different schools getting those. And all of a sudden, instead of like Alabama's recruiting class having 20 top 100, you know, or 15 top 100 players, you only have 11, 10. And over time, that just lowers them and makes them more susceptible to upsets, and it's a little less dominant or something like that. So to me, this is exactly what we always predicted would happen for the teams that get aggressive. And I think what you're seeing at Louisville is a lot of schools are not aggressive. You still have coaches sitting there saying, I think Harbaugh said this week, we're not paying anyone to come here and all that, but we get here, you'll make a fortune. We're Michigan.
Right.
That's great what he's saying, but there's boosters that might say separately something else. But people aren't organized, but they can be. And if you're right. If you're a lot of schools, you're sitting there going, well, you know, if Louisville can do this, you know, why not us? What if Louisville ends up with five or six top 100 players?
I mean,
and that's a really big distinction, top 100. It's basically a top three round draft pick.
No, I mean, and just look at the recruiting rankings now, and they will change. Let's be clear about that in the next 6 months before people sign. But still, as of right now, Texas Tech is number two with Rivals and has four stars. Cincinnati's number three and has four stars. Northwestern is number seven, has three stars. Arkansas is 10. Minnesota is 11. They don't have any fours. They're all loading up on the three stars, but still. Michigan State, coming. 7 stars. Louisville, number 13. Arizona, 16. So we're seeing a little bit of a reshaping here, at least for now, the opportunity for some of these schools to move up in a sport where it's almost impossible to move up on the field.
Yeah. So even a little chipping away here or there can be significant because it just generally lowers the bit. So, I mean, to me, if you've got this class coming, if you're committed, Satterfield would have to he would have to fall on his face this year to get fired, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the opportunity now is there to, just get through this season. You don't have to be great. They do have their quarterback back, Malik Cunningham. They lost their top receiver who transfer portaled to Alabama. So that's the other side of the equation. But still, if they are 500 or around there, he's going to get another season. I am sure of that. And it would be nice to not get blown out by Kentucky as they have the last several years. If they get this class to signing day, then I think he's got a great chance to get a fifth season.
I mean, recruiting becomes the deal, and you look at the promise. I mean, look, if you've got that quarterback and that running back running his system, that's going to be – I mean, you got athletes coming. They have a tricky schedule.
Yeah.
I'll read it. They open at Syracuse. That's a league game. Should win that. I mean, you know, I don't know what Syracuse. That whatever. But they're non-conference at UCF. So yeah. Louisville coming to the bounce house on a Friday night.
That's the thing. Short turnaround from another road game to start the season. You open at Syracuse, then 6 days later at UCF. That is tricky.
The house will be bouncing. Then they get Florida State 1 week later on a Friday night. Then they play South Florida. Then they're at BC, at Virginia. They get Pitt at home. They get Wake at home. They get a James Madison, presumably, victory. Oh, James Madison. Then they're at Clemson, NC State, at Kentucky. This is a tough schedule. I mean, those last three could be ugly.
Oh, yeah. On paper, there are 5 of the last 6 games, the other team is better as of right now. The first half, you're as good as most of those teams, but 4 of the first 6 are on the road. So, I mean, yeah, season
BC could get, is a dangerous swirly. Team this year.
Yep.
You never know with Florida State. And at UCF, I mean, that is just one of those games. It's like, oh, God.
Right.
I'm looking forward to watching it, but it's, you know, UCF's going to be hyped to have Louisville come in. So there's a lot there. Very interesting season at Louisville. But I'll tell you what, if you're on the ropes, nothing better than the promise of recruits.
Right. Exactly.
Especially from California. Tom Izzo used to always say he'd sign these classes and no one would get that excited because his whole Michigan State basketball teams are always like one guard from Detroit, another guard from Flint, a big man from Grand Rapids, and like someone from like some suburb in Ohio. Like that was every Tom Izzo recruiting. And he goes, I need to go. Nothing would get the fans more excited than a 7-footer from California. He didn't even have to be any good. They just get so excited. Well, if I just signed a 7-footer from California, they'd be all fired.
Oh my God. I'm here to tell you, I talked to somebody last night about the Louisville recruiting situation. I knew this was going to come up today. And the question was, you know, is Pierce Clarkson really any good? And the answer was, does it matter? He's helping us get other recruits. You know, the promise, a 4-star QB from Cali who's got a lot of friends. It's a pretty good thing to have.
Sounds fantastic to Louisville. So anyway, I mean, look, proud program. You can own this. I mean, you know, this is Lamar Jackson's school. And Lamar is a pretty exciting player. A lot going on. So anyway, Louisville, big step up. All right, also recruiting, Carnell Tate, probably the number one wide receiver in the country or something close, just committed to Ohio State. The Brian Hartline wide receiving recruiting and coaching up. This guy, I mean, this isn't even newsworthy anyway anymore, but
yeah,
next big time receiver at Ohio. Ohio State has just become the spot for receivers.
Yeah. I mean, that, and obviously in Alabama, but you're right. Like the last couple of years, it's ridiculous. I mean, when Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was like the third option, can go set a Rose Bowl record for receiving yards, then they're pretty flush with talent. And obviously Brian Hartline knows how to coach them up and Ryan Day knows how to scheme them up. They got Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, they are an assembly line right now. If you're a receiver, I don't know why you would go somewhere else.
Well, and they may still get Brandon Innes, another top 10 kid. So Buckeyes are loading up. We talked a little bit last week with Ross when he was on about Michigan State. And you mentioned them. They're certainly making an impact. Both Michigan State and Louisville are doing this, like bringing out fancy cars on their visits and stuff. And like, I think there was a private plane.
Florida did it too.
Florida did it. This is the big thing. Like the car, the new indoor waterfall is like paying the guy with the classic car collection.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, hey, first of all, for many of the young folks, it's all about the gram, right? And so you get your picture taken on your recruiting visit at Churchill Downs with a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. You're living large there.
Yes, the photo shoot.
Yeah.
All right, then you have this one, which got everyone excited. Will Randall, tight end from New Orleans. Isidore Newman is heading to Texas, and he currently catches passes, of course, from Arch Manning and Isidore Newman.
Mm-hmm.
So that has led people to speculate that Arch is coming to Texas or that Arch dragged Texas along in an effort to them trick them into take Will Randall. And then he's going to leave him at the, you know, because he's doing his buddy a solid. I've seen the conspiracies already spin. Will Arch Manning follow? Is Will Randall part of the package for Arch Manning at Texas, Pat?
I kind of get the feeling that's not the way the Mannings would operate. You know, they don't seem like the package deal types. I mean, you know, they're not above manipulating a situation, as we know with Eli Manning's draft status. But I have a hard time seeing there being some either scenario, really. Well, like if you take my tight end, buddy, I'll come. Or, yeah, let the tight end go there and then we'll let him down easy and I'm going to bolt out the other way and go to Georgia. I think Arch is going to decide in a vacuum regardless of where his tight end is going. That's my thought.
Yeah, I think so, too. It was good, though. But that thing made, like, I think it made, like, the AP wire. Like, it's getting crazy with the Arch. kind of feel bad for Arsh as much as I can feel bad for someone who has been handed so much immense talent and family privilege and all that. But like, they're trying to be low key and it's just not working.
No, no. I mean, it's like impossible. I have to admit, like, it's been, I thought they would be a little more successful in keeping it low key, but I don't, I just don't think you can with this.
He needed to commit early and to just say nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. But we haven't gotten there. So no, we're that's good for it. Us. It's good for us. We're dragging. Hey, should we make a pact that we will emergency pod when he does commit?
Sure.
Might have to. We might have to. It is out there.
Since we've declared ourselves the official Arch Manning podcast.
Like years ago.
Yeah, way ahead.
Yeah, the kid better be pretty good or this is going to be embarrassing. Very interesting interview with Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliakoff in The Athletic with Nicole Arbach. He talks about a number of issues. On NIL, his basic thing is I do think it's important we start enforcing the three rules that everyone agreed to, which is that it should not be used for inducements. It should not be used for pay for play. The amount paid should be commensurate with the work, which is often referred to as quid pro quo. I feel like the horse is out of the barn on all of those.
Yeah. I mean, right now you can talk about what NIL should be, but we know what it is, and it's not what the people that in administrative positions were expecting, and I don't think that you're going to be able to go back on that. What works in recruiting is what is going to be the reality. You can talk all you want theoretically about, well, it shouldn't be for this or it shouldn't be for that, but then you're going to see Louisville load up on 4 stars in Michigan State, and other people are going to say, well, wait a minute, then we're going to do the same thing. That's the way it's always worked in college athletics. When somebody gets ahead, everybody else is like, well, we'll do whatever we need to do to keep up. So good luck bottling this thing.
I mean, how do you know what's commensurate with the work?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I mean, like what? They pay like a Kardashian some outstanding amount of money for one tweet or one Instagram picture. Like, I don't know. I feel like they need to just give up on focusing on this stuff because there's just no way. I mean, it's just gone. These boosters are out there. Unless they want to try to make the schools control their own boosters. That's the only way. And I don't know which one of these guys is going to do that because they just get fired.
Yeah, good luck.
The AD right? get fired. So they're not going to do that.
As has always been the case, it is, from a job security standpoint, better to do what you got to do to win than to curtail things to try to be in compliance with whatever you think the rules or spirit of the rules should be.
All right, this one was interesting. The college football playoff expansion. Kliakoff, I think there are 5 things that need to happen. And they have to happen in a certain sequence. Number one is we've committed to each other to collectively agree on a 365-day calendar for college football and its rules. That is a process that started the last time the CFP met, and there's been work done by all the conferences in the interim. And he says that's going to pick up next week when they meet in Park City, of course.
Yeah.
Love these guys. Amateur athletics, everyone.
I'm shocked they don't. What's the big international meeting, like the G5 meetings or whatever in Switzerland? I'm shocked.
Yeah, Davos or whatever.
Yeah, right. Davos. I'm shocked they don't go to Davos like the week
that'll
after
be next.
That
one. Give them time.
Oslo, like the Nobel Prize Committee or something. Yeah. In one minute, he's like, I'm worried about commensurate with the work. At the same time, me and the guys are going to get together in Park City to talk about something we should have done 10 years ago.
They're not staying at a Fairfield Inn in Park City.
No, it's not the Fairfield Inn, Park City. The 365-day calendar, Pat, what are they talking about?
That encompasses a lot of different things. That's recruiting calendar. That's transfer calendar windows there. And just basically laying out how the sport operates and when there's going to be cessations in these areas and when there's going to be downtime, when there's not. And this sounds very much like George has been talking to, and we know that he does, Jim Phillips, because that's been Jim Phillips's big thing. It's like, we got to do all these other things first. And that's one of the things Jim Phillips has mentioned every single time. We've
holistic
got to review the calendar.
The holistic review.
Yes.
We will get holistic in Park City.
There you go.
I don't think this is that tough. I've said certain things. I don't know whether they'll do it, but like, yeah, the transfer windows they've started to come up with, that's, you know, probably will help some way. We'll see. I'm a big fan of moving signing day all the way to like March 1.
Absolutely.
Eliminating the early signing period, although I understand people want to get on campus. I don't know, maybe you can just enroll without sign. I don't know. It's tricky. It's hard. It's hard. There's some certain things, but some different things they could do. All right. Number two, here's what he says. Once you figure that out, I think number two is you've got to do the work related to what the format looks like, particularly what the automatic qualifiers look like. My impression is that people are really, really okay with the format that was proposed. And now we're really talking about what the AQs look like. So what is that? Is he talking about that? If you remember, the one that was proposed had the top six ranked conference champions each year, which we thought was a fairly elegant way of kind of solving the 5-1. But a lot of these other guys want the guarantee for things like the Pac-12. And then one of the extras, which others have said is a lawsuit bait. But I guess that's the battle right now. Six or top six or 5+1.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that obviously, if you're the Pac-12 and you are, you know, you're in the Power Five, but have one foot on the banana peel, potentially slipping out of it because your conference hasn't been part of the playoff for quite a while, then you want that protected spot.
At this point, what is going to take you down? Conferences after the Big 12
right,
are now a gutted American.
Mm-hmm.
The Mountain West is still what it was, so they lost BYU.
Yeah, and they are not quite as overall powerful as they have been in the past.
The Mountain West is probably your sixth. Other than that, you're looking at a gutted AAC or a Sun Belt. You'd have to be passed by two leagues.
Right. Yeah.
Two of them. You'd have to be passed by two.
Is that really
going to happen? And if it does, you guys suck. You don't want to be in the playoff.
Well, exactly. It's instead of looking for protection, how about just get better? You know, that there's no reason why a conference with USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, etc. can't have a champion that's better than the champion, as you said, a really diminished AAC and the Mountain West, or you throw in a Sun Belt team and, you know, you're occasionally going to get a undefeated MAC,
could maybe, but yeah, it's like, but you've also changed, you got rid of division, so your Pac-12 title game is now between the top two teams, so you're spared of some just garbage team from a bad side
mm-hmm.
winning it. I mean, they're fighting over nothing on that.
They are. Well, they're scared, and that's the Power Five schools. First of all, change is difficult, as we know. But the Power Five schools, instead of showing like just a confidence that we can do it, they want everything rigged to their advantage all the time. And it's already mostly rigged to their advantage, as we know. We see the college football playoff rankings come out, and it was an absolute, like, Everest climb to get Cincinnati into the top four. We saw how they treated UCF in the past when they were undefeated. I mean, Coastal Carolina, they put a cap on where they were going to be when they were undefeated. They were never getting higher than like 15. So you are that worried about a system that's already rigged in your favor. You want it now guaranteed in your favor. And it's a little bit off-putting to me.
Now, the other part of how these automatic qualifiers is what the SEC's sort of been rattling, that the last proposal said only conference champions can get the top four and a bye. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, certainly alluded to the idea that he's scrapped that. We'll take the top four now, regardless of whether you win a conference championship or not, you get no benefit, which would likely mean there's two SEC teams. Some years, half the years, many years, who knows, would get a bye. Now, I don't know what that does to the SEC championship game, because it's not really, all of a sudden doesn't really matter. It's even less. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter that much now, right. A lot of years, but whatever, they have it. So we'll see on that. That would be, I guess, the other angle. But again, that's not a ton to argue over.
No. I mean,
without the SEC, I don't know what these guys do now. They kind of have to just be like, okay. They've given up their power, argue over this. So there's a lot here.
No, it's unbelievable, really. Like, this could have all been taken care of a year ago, And this is why we haven't, because the list of concerns that you're putting out there. Okay.
But Park City, you know, you get the Park City. All right. Number three is revenue split. I imagine they can figure that out. Number four is protecting the three contract bowls, the Rose, Sugar, and Orange. Interesting. No mention of the Cotton, Chick-fil-A, or Fiesta.
Right. But the like the Power Five contracts, Big Ten and Pac-12 are with the Rose. Big 12 and SEC are with the Sugar. And the ACC is with the Orange. So
right. So I don't know if that means those other three. If that to me is, if I'm running one of these other three bowls that were just mentioned, I get my ass to Park City and buy a lot of really good whiskey. That to me is just like buy me bourbon. Yeah,
right. I need a boat and a lot of golf this weekend.
I need a golf. I need some Pappy. Yeah.
Get the Pappy Van Winkle up there. I need all this stuff. Just noting that that's a shot across the bow. If I'm sitting around the Chick-fil-A bowl going,
But it's one thing to be part of the New Year's Six, but when you're not contractually tied to one of the Power Five conferences, you're a little bit vulnerable.
And then he says number five is announcing it. What we did wrong last year is we put number five first before we took care of the open issues.
Ari Fleischer, are your ears burning?
And yet you keep employing the guy.
Oh, yeah. So the world's worst strategist keeps getting strategy jobs.
15 years ripping these guys off. God bless them. If you guys are going to keep giving money to someone who did it at the ass backwards every single time, it's on you, George.
Like, failing, let's see, all right, failing campaign to save the BCS, embraces all the structural flaws of the CFP, and then when they're ready to fix the CFP, leaks it before everyone's ready for it and screws that up.
Yeah, good times, but Park City. So anyway, that'll be soon, the Park City meeting, so maybe we'll get some details out of that.
One other thing out of that interview, which was very good from Nicole Arbach with George Kliakoff, that caught my attention was Kliakoff said that he's had conversations with several of the FBS commissioners, and I've been surprised by the unanimous support for the idea among the folks that I've spoken to about taking football rulemaking and football rule enforcement out of the NCAA. Which is basically, in terms of for one sport at least, just kicking the NCAA to the curb and saying, we got this. Sounds good in theory. I still want to know who's really going to be in charge of rule enforcement. Who's going to take that on? You really think those conferences are all going to get together and say, yeah, we'll enforce each other and we name our own like enforcement staff? And I think that is highly unrealistic. It's been talked about a bunch, but they like having the NCAA as a fairly incompetent cop, the Sergeant Schultz out there that sees nothing, knows nothing, that they can get work around, but they don't have to be the bad guys. I really don't think these conferences are up for taking on that role.
They're not even close. This gets annoying. I'm no defender of the NCAA. We make fun of them every podcast, but like, it's just it's an applause line that has no reality. You're right. Going to do a better job? We just talked about how you announced you expanded the playoff before you expanded the playoff and screwed the whole thing up. It's literally the easiest thing to do. You couldn't even announce it on schedule.
Yeah.
We talked about how you guys sat around and said, hey, NIL's coming, but, you know, it'll just be based on whether a player did good on Saturday. No, it didn't. In 2 seconds, everyone's doing that. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Right. These guys are no more. They are the NCAA. They're not capable of doing this.
Right.
They're a bunch of pretenders. The best thing for them is to be able to blame the quote unquote NCAA.
Absolutely. It's plausible deniability that, it's not us that can't police ourselves. It's them. They can't do it.
They didn't see the issues coming. They can't get out of their way. They can't expand a playoff that they all agreed to expand. They can't do it. So is the NCAA good at this stuff? No. But are these guys better? No.
No. That's the thing. Who's going to put together that structure? Who's going to take that on? Who's going to enforce the rules?
Whatever. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's. But you're going to have Ari Fleischer running this thing. So, okay.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to get. I mean, you're going to screw it up too. So I would just keep that little building in Indianapolis. It's like how when the NFL for NFL made more money off the threat of moving to LA than when they actually got to put a franchise in LA. Like every city in America built a new stadium for their team because they might go to LA. The best right. business the NFL had was LA didn't have a team. Now they got a team there and they make less money. They make good money because they got a team in LA. You want a team in LA, but it's better when you could sit there and go, well, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I was just seen out at Mr. Chow's. There's some, you remember the guy that dropped some fancy stadium somewhere that would never happen. And all of a sudden the local government would pony over $800 million and we'd be good.
Right.
Also, no. Yeah, I mean, this punching bag. So go ahead. Good luck. You guys have shown us no competence.
Right. No. I mean, I'll believe that when I see it.
Pat, one thing about this podcast is we are petty.
We
never forget.
We do revel in the petty.
When we hate something, we just keep beating on it. There are no such things as a dead horse. So on that thing, I think we have to tip our cap to this. An elephant in India. We've done a lot of elephant stories lately.
Yeah.
This is the king of petty. A 70-year-old woman in India was trampled to death by an elephant. We're sorry for your loss.
Yeah, it's bad.
Family of the woman. Elephant ran her over. Maya Murmu. She was drawing water, and the elephant came and stomped her. So that's terrible.
Wow.
He had strayed out from a sanctuary. See, the zoos are dangerous.
Well.
So this happened in a village in eastern India. They had a funeral for her, for Maya. And guess who showed up at the funeral? The same elephant.
Come on, man.
The elephant escaped, came out of nowhere, and trampled her dead body again on Thursday.
Come on.
It's in the Daily Mail, buddy.
Well, if it's in the Daily Mail, then you got to believe it.
The elephant is believed to have traveled from the Dalma Wildlife Sanctuary in the state of Jharkhand 200 kilometers away.
Come on. This is the most vengeful, spiteful, hateful elephant of all time. What did this woman do to the elephant?
They say they never forget.
Well, they certainly do say that. I mean, they say they never forget. I mean, but like, if you've already killed the woman, do you have to, like, trample her again?
Woo! This is a bitter, angry elephant.
Yes, it is.
Very mean. Why did they not take the elephant down when he killed the person anyway?
Yeah, where's the line of defense here? Or at least, yeah. You have a killer elephant out there. I would say you need to do something about that.
They were arguing last week whether an elephant could be a person, and therefore zoo imprisonment would be illegal. Being in a zoo would be deemed illegal imprisonment. And they were going to let the elephants out of the Bronx Zoo right there on the Cross Bronx Expressway. I'm sure nothing bad could happen.
So I was not on the podcast last week. Who is saying an elephant is a person?
The elephant rights people.
Okay.
Well, if so, death penalty.
Yeah, right. Human penalties for murder, not just murderers, but people that go stomp on their dead bodies. Oh, my God.
This woman really pissed this elephant off, though.
I mean, she must have done something serious. Man, that's like...
Imagine being at a funeral, and all of a sudden, here comes the elephant.
Are they sure? How do you know it's the same one? I mean, is it like, you know, have the same gang insignia, a tattoo or something on the arm? I mean, it was
in the Daily Mail, Pat. It has to be true.
There you go. It does. It does.
So do not piss off an elephant, everyone.
Clearly.
If you're at the zoo and something's going on, I don't know if there's any way that you might do something that would anger an elephant. Do not do it.
No. Feed it peanuts. Be nice.
There was a great, when this went viral this weekend, there was a former zoo employee told a story about a elephant that hated dogs. And one time another zoo employee like stopped a dog from like walking by like a service animal. And the elephant's favorite move was to throw rocks at these dogs. And instead of hitting the dog, it knocked out the zookeeper from stopping the dog with a rock throw from like 20 feet away. Yeah.
With its trunk?
With its trunk. Yeah.
It hucked a rock at him?
It hucked a rock at him.
And it went in and it hit him. Accuracy?
Accuracy. Knocked him out from like 20 feet away with a rock. Walked through.
See?
So I now have an idea for my next children's book.
Yeah.
Happy Epic the athletes. Elephant from the Bronx leads Old Miss to the
the Jello shot title.
Oh, I'll do it even for you, Pat, Sully. I'll make it Tennessee.
There you go.
There you go.
Happy the Elephant leads Tennessee Vols to the College Baseball World Series Championship. Kids would love that.
Yes.
A pitching elephant?
A pitching elephant. Sure. May not field the position very well, but
Sully, we're going to make so much money on this book.
Let's do it.
And we will be down at Rocco's just getting hammered every day. There you go. Even when the baseball's not, we'll just move to Omaha.
We'll just buy Rocco's.
We'll buy Rocco's off this book. You can pre-order by Venmoing me $20. May there or may not get written. Yeah. Happy the Elephant.
Send in the money now. Seed money for the book.
Yeah. I guarantee there is no like SEC rule or NCAA rule that says you can't not have an elephant pitching.
I can show me that actually, by law.
Oh no, I can see like the SEC meetings. You know, the coaches were the AD with a straight face saying, "Yeah, no, he's a member of our team." Nothing.
Some rogue Alabama AD back in the day probably brought it up. Like, the mascot play on the...
it'll be like that Savannah Bananas team, right? The mascot can play. It's like Mike the Tiger is a pinch runner. Man, talk about the defensive shift on that. Everyone runs the outfield. You just laid out a bunt.
You want to tag out Mike the Tiger at second? No, you do not.
Everyone's like, I'm done, man. I'm going over Rocco's. I wanted to win, but... Got to lay it on the line. Yeah, play the right way.
Mike the Tiger ate his third shortstop of the season.
has 1,000 steals and 14 second basemen eaten. Yeah.
All right. That's got to be our podcast. We're making jokes of an elephant who killed a woman and then screwed up her funeral. Kind of low even for us.
It is pretty low, but yeah. We can at least recognize and salute the petty involved there.
Yeah, we'll find lower. Appreciate everyone listening. We'll be back later in the week. Keep buying your shots out there. We'll give you an update on the Rocco standings. Subscribe, leave us a nice review, keep sending us crazy stories or whatever. We will talk to you later.